Dear people, will you please open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. A little word about the chapter before we begin, and I just want to read a section of it. But in this chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul is mentioning to the church, or as he writes to the church, and he's telling them there's a couple of problems that exist in the church at that time. The first problem was demeanor and dress of the women, which we find in verses 1 to down to verse 16. And the second problem was the abuse of the Lord's Supper, which is from verses 17 down to verse 33. And I want to read those verses, 17 and down to verse 33. Follow along in your scriptures as I begin the reading of verse 17 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But in giving this instruction, I do not praise you, because you come together not for the better, but for the worst. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that divisions exist among you. And in part, I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, so that those who are approved may become evident among you. Therefore, when you meet together, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in your eating, each one takes his own supper first, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What do you not have houses in which to eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? In this I will not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that you will not come together for judgment. The remaining matters I will arrange when I come. We always turn to this section of Scripture when we come to the Lord's Supper. We're looking at it, and we briefly go over the very words of the Supper itself to use that as a pronouncement as we begin to take the Lord's Supper. But I want to do a little bit more this morning. I want to go into these verses and so see what Paul had here as a problem and make it in for us to understand that we too have some concern when we come to the Lord's table. Now, as I mentioned, in 1 Corinthians 11, there are two problems that existed in the church. The first one was the demeanor and dress of women, verses 1 to 16. And what we have and what we read down from verse 17 down to 33 is the abuse of the Lord's Supper. The problem of the Lord's Supper centered on the way the brethren were acting in the public meeting of the church. Paul could not praise them for the way they met as a body of Christ. Notice again in verse 17. But in giving this instructions, I do not praise you because you come together not for the better, but for the worse. And he says, for in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that divisions exist among you. And in part, I believe it. For there must be also be factions among you so that those who are approved may come, it may become evident among you. Paul is saying here, God is dealing with his church and he's going to deal with them too. And that there are these factions and things that are there. God is going to be the one who deals with them. Paul continues telling about their disorderly church gatherings. They were divisions and factions, as I just read. Before they came to meet with the Lord, eat the Lord's Supper and have that particular pronouncement that was given to them, they had a common meal beforehand. And during this meal, those who had much to eat did not care about their poor brethren who didn't have anything to eat. Some of them had very little or nothing at all. But here you have the church gathering, and they gathered as one body of people there, and they're having this time of a meal together, but there was no love, no concern for the brethren in the church. And Paul said that they sat there, and they did that, and they ate that way, and then they would go to the Lord's Supper as if everything was okay. Paul made it clear that what was taking place was contempt for the church of God. That was the problem. And shame for the poor brethren in the church. These who had much to eat, they lavishly laid out their meals and the meal before the Lord's Supper, and they just having a great time and eating and rejoicing and enjoying their meals, while sitting on another table, probably not far from them, there are these brethren who had hardly anything at all, maybe a piece of bread and a glass of water. But those who had all the food to eat didn't bother them one bit. They fed themselves and fed themselves happy and full. And now, get the picture in your mind. Now, after this, oh, here they are, brethren there, probably starving in some. Now they're going to come to the Lord's table, united as a church, as if everything is all right. Paul says, no, that's not right. There's a problem with that. But Paul goes on in verse 23 and he tells about the Lord's Supper. He says in verse 23, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. And Paul is saying here that he did not receive the teaching of the Lord's Supper from the disciples or even from some of the earlier books, or the books of all the gospel writings. The dating of the New Testament books indicates that Paul, or several of Paul's epistles, may have been written before the Gospels were ever written. So Paul, no doubt someone could say to them that, you know, they had a Lord's Supper, whatever the case may be. But Paul says something here. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. It was God, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, that explained the Lord's Supper to Paul and how it should be done. And that's why Paul can say, and he used the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says he was the one who gave this to him. And he said he was the one who showed him how it must be done. Paul is saying to these brethren, you need to now think about what is going on when you come to the supper of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must have your hearts and minds right as you come. And as we look at this and we think of what Paul is saying, I say to each one of us this morning, we too must hear and take the words of the Apostle Paul and examine ourselves, not only as a believer in Christ, but as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us apply with the words of Paul here to our own hearts in preparation for the Lord's Supper. Now, as we look at the flow of Paul's instruction to the church, I have three quick points to bring to you. First of all, we have a warning given. Notice in verse 27, there's a warning given. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Paul is saying here, as he's speaking to these brethren there, and we got to say the same thing, speaking to us also. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner. Now, the word he uses for unworthy here is irrelevant and is unbecoming manner of coming before the Lord Jesus Christ. The heart and mind is not pressed on Christ and what he's done. The whole picture of God, Jesus Christ and his death upon the cross and what took place there, the mind is not connected to all that. It is just, I'm doing this. This has become a thing that I do every first Sunday, or in other churches, every Sunday. It's something I do, and I'm going through it without my heart even being turned upon it. So there is no reverence to the Lord Jesus Christ in taking the supper. When we take the elements in our hands, the blood represented by the cup and the bread representing the body, are we just, okay, just eat this and just go down, drink this and go down, and no thought whatsoever? Paul's saying this is what is called an unworthy manner. To eat and drink unworthily is to come to the Lord's table in a careless, irreverent spirit, without the intention or desire to set one's heart on the death of Jesus Christ as the sacrifice for our sins. Each individual must think about his or her sins. Each individual think about his or her life, what it was even before Christ saved us, and what it is right now, and how it's being lived right now. Is it being lived to the glory of God? And is it something that we could do and ought to be doing? Or maybe are we doing things that we should not be doing? Unworthily, he's saying. Unworthy here does not mean a Christian that feels his unworthiness to come before his, because of his failures and his sins. That's not what Paul is saying. That Christian must come and receive fresh grace from Christ and the Holy Spirit. We had in our first prayer, our brother prayed for us. He said, Lord, forgive us our sins. There are some sins we have committed through the week, dear people. Or maybe even like some have prayed, there be sins of omission. Some things we should have done, but we didn't do. Even if we didn't do actual sins against someone or even against God. So therefore, we cannot say we come without sin. Paul teaches us clearly sin remains in us. And since sin itself is going to take its part and even draw us into to do that which we don't want to do. Paul says here it was unworthy. The unworthiness spoken here is what Paul wrote to the Corinthians about. The unloving acts towards the brethren. That their hearts were closed to the brethren as well as to Jesus Christ. Look at verse 18 and 19 again. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, remember Paul is making this is very important. You come together as a church, a body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hear that divisions exist among you. And in part, I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, so that those who are approved may become evident among you. And here he's saying, God isn't even allowing some of these factions so that those who truly belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, it will be made known. So that's the first thing we have. We have this warning that comes from the apostle. This warning that says you are not living up to what you ought to be doing as Christians. And Paul says, they shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Guilty means bound by sin. Guilt, punishment for an act is what he's saying. Guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Paul is saying here, those who took the Lord's Supper, not understanding what it was really applied to, not understanding what it all means, they actually committed sin in taking the Lord's Supper. Of all the ideas that are stated as to the meaning of these words, I agree with those who say that the apostle was saying that the Corinthians were guilty of disrespecting the body and blood of the Lord, which means that they were not taking to heart what the death of Christ really meant and what was accomplished by his death and what each sinner received for Christ when he went upon the cross. So Paul says, you are not even looking at what you're supposed to be doing in a right manner. And all you did in taking the supper is that you were guilty. That's all you did. That's his first warning. The first warning is there was guilt in taking it. Secondly, he gives them some spiritual advice. Notice in verse 28, he gives them spiritual advice. But a man must examine himself, is what he's saying. What should you do? He says here, but a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Paul is saying going to the Lord's table is not something that you just do haphazardly. It's not something you do and basically you're saying, you know, oh, well, you know, this is what the church does and this is what we do every first Sunday, so we'll do it and I'm doing it too. No, he's saying that there must be something done, but a man must examine himself. Examine here, the word used in this place means to put to the test. Paul is saying that the person who takes part in the Lord's Supper must conduct a good self-examination. And dear people, that's what we should be doing, even as we come of this day and to worship God on the Lord's Day, and especially on this first Sunday of the month, we should find ourselves putting our hearts and minds on the very thing, Christ's death for our behalf, his death in our place, and thinking what we receive. Good self-examination must be done. In this context, the self-examination must be determined if he, that man, is living and showing love and charity with the brethren. Because you notice in this very context, Paul is concerned about how the brethren in the church were being treated. All the brethren, they come together. They're one body in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so therefore, if you can sit and have this big, luscious meal and your brother has nothing over there, how can you say, I'm connected to him and the Lord Jesus Christ, loving him, see him my equal, doing all I can and showing my love to him. Christ died for me and Christ died for him also. How can I put a wall between him? This is my brother. So Paul says, you must examine yourself. And I'm quite sure those in that church, if they examine themselves, they say all of the gospel truths that come and all the connection that come before for those who are now in Christ Jesus, because Christ died for every one of them. His death on the cross was for each and every one of them. How can we look at one and belittle one who is and has been saved by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the same Lord who saved me? So Paul says here, examine yourself what needs to be done. And Paul gives the reason for the need of a self-examination. And in the next point, we find out what he's saying there. He says there is a fact that you and I must look at. There's a godly fact that is stated here. Notice in verse 29. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. Those are powerful words, dear people, as we come. And again, we can't just come haphazardly. Can't come with our minds closed off to Christ or what we're doing. You see many, and it's a shame, that even in the churches today, they take the Lord's Supper almost as if there's some kind of magic in it. I'll take the supper and basically what I receive from the supper is something that's going to help me through it. But they're not coming as people who are looking and giving honor to the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done. Godly fact is stated here. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body. The verse focuses on the conduct displayed by the brethren in this very chapter here, in verses 17 to 22. what we read. But in giving this instruction, I do not praise you because you come together not for the better, but for the worse. And the worse is what is happening in the midst of you and what is going on. He said, for or because in the first place, when you come together as a church, remember, Paul is saying here, there is no taking of the Lord's Supper, dear people, in the body of Christ as individuals taking the Lord's Supper. Individuals come together as the church honoring God in this very supper is what he said. He says, and I hear that the division exists among you. And in part, I believe it. He says, there's factions, all kind of problems. Verse 21, for in your eating, each one takes his own supper first. And one is hungry and another is drunk. Is that some kind of action that should take place in the Lord's Supper? Or in the Lord's church, you say, first of all, and this, remember, this is before we even get to the Lord's Supper. He says in verse 2, Paul says, what? It's almost like, what in the world is going on? Do you not have houses in which to eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? Paul is saying here, all your meals you can take, if it's just a meal of gathering together, you can do that at home. But why you come together? And really, when you come together and you got your poor brother that have nothing to eat, you're despising him. Or her, or them. When you do this. And Paul even ends on this very chapter. Look at verse 34. He says in 33 and 34. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. In other words, he could be pointing to the fact of all in this common meal. But I believe he's pointing to the fact of the Lord's Supper. But he said, if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home. So that you will not come together for judgment. The remaining matters are resolved. But Paul says here, for you eat and drink in judgment to yourself. This verse focuses on the conduct. This focus is saying that judgment will be brought. Judgment here, it meaning punishment as a consequence of an action that is given. Those who do not eat, or those who eat in such a manner that they do not care about Christ and what he's doing, is only sitting in some kind of a love feast together, having joy and fun in that, And it says if we had our third Sunday and we sit down, we enjoy one another with a meal and we sit down, but not doing it like we do it. Everybody bring food that everyone can have something to eat, don't we? We do it. All the brethren can eat together. But if we came to this place and there was one table and some family over there, another table, family over there, and at some table, you got our young man here who may not, he's not married, don't have anything. He brings him a cup of water or something, and they're always eating and enjoying it, and we look at our brother sitting there, and we don't care nothing about him. Paul says, you'll be judged for this. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself. Paul moves now from that meal that they had to now to the Lord's Supper. If you eat now and you have not looked to Christ as you ought to, this is what you drink. You're drinking judgment to yourself. God's going to deal with you is what he's saying. Judgment here is punishment as a consequence of an action. Punishment is going to come. We're said, if we take the Lord's Supper and not have the right idea in our mind, we haven't done anything that is right before God. Only thing we have done is brought judgment to ourselves. Therefore, Paul is speaking, and he says this. Some versions, he says, let me go back. Notice and look at that verse again in verse 29. Notice how Paul says, for he who eats and drinks judgment to himself. And notice what he says. If he does not judge the body rightly. Now, some of the Bible they have drink it, if he does not judge the Lord's body. But in the Greek text, the word Lord is not there. It's looking at the body. It's the body. And Paul here is speaking of and concerned with the body of Christ, meaning the church. And we read it that way. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly, does not judge the body of Christ, does not judge the church rightly. The problem with these Corinthian brethren was that they were not judging the body, looking at all who in the body of Christ connected to one another, be the same one. Christ died for each and every one of us, so we see ourselves connected with them. What they have done, they have made a schism. They made plants, breaks in the very body. They put these people over there and these over here, and they have no attachment. That is not putting the right distinction on what the body is. And so he says, this is the very thing. For he who eats and drinks damnation to himself if he does not judge the body. If we do not look at the body as the people of God connected to the Lord Jesus Christ by his death. He is the one who has died for us, and he is the one that we look now. And what each church, local church body should see and understand, what Paul is saying here, there is a connection. We are all united to each other as we are united to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see how Paul even mentions this? Bringing it here, he's telling the Corinthian brethren how you must live, which is far different from what you've been doing in these particular days when I receive messages concerning you. Therefore, Paul is speaking of the church as a body. He is calling the brethren to realize that fact. That fact is that they have become one body in Christ. Not a group of people just sitting down and having some kind of fellowship together. They are one body in Christ. Therefore, the partaking of the Lord's Supper is the recognition of the fellowship that the church has by their union with one another and their union to Christ Jesus. This is a supper that's done for the church itself. You and I don't take it thinking about ourselves only alone and where I stand with Christ. Paul is teaching us here that we should see where we stand as a body of Christ and with Christ. Therefore, the partaking of the Lord's Supper is the recognition of the fellowship that the church has with one another and with the Lord Jesus Christ. In this verse, we're reminded that the one body concept is a reality in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we are, dear brethren, connected to one another. A connection that we cannot even in no way perform in our own. Because that connection is something that is done by God the Holy Spirit, connecting us one to another. You can have any group out there in the world that you have, and social clubs or whatever they may be, they have a connection, and they write up some kind of bylaws which connects them together. We don't have bylaws that connects us together. We're connected by the Lord Jesus Christ, by his death on the cross. He died. And just think of this. Jesus Christ in eternity past, God gave him, the Father gave him his people, which he would come and die for. And when Christ went to the cross and he now died for them, and he calls each one out of darkness and into life, and they're connected to the church, do you think Christ sees as he looks down at Grace Reformed Baptist Church, or whatsoever other church it may be, I see my loved one here, and I see one there, and I see one there? No, he said, I see my gathered people that are called to myself. They are united to one another, and they are united to me. And this is what Paul is saying. This is the problem that existed there. These words were here are for us today as much as they were for the Corinthians in that day. Our hearts must be given to God the Holy Spirit helping us to come and come to the supper aright and to come knowing that we are united to one another. And brother, I thank God because I can see the unity that exists in this little church. I thank God for the connection. I thank God for the way we pray for one another, the way we even keep in contact with one another, letting each other know what's going on, and the prayers go up. And this is what's supposed to be. This is real body life. And see, and Paul said, that didn't exist then. And even if some people have a problem or some kind of dark providence may come upon somebody, we are ready to reach out and help and do what we can for one another. That's what the church is. So this whole idea that you come to the church and you don't have no connection whatsoever, that's the wrong thing. But here Christ says, I build my church. And Christ is saying when he said that, that there will be local bodies who are connected together, which shows my love and connection to my people. And each one of those groups will show to the world what Christ has done. Dear people, may we come to the table this morning with our hearts upon Jesus Christ as our Savior and understanding our connection to one another. May we not just go and do this as a something that has become something we do every month. Let's do this with our hearts in everything that we are doing, showing and even thinking and going over in our mind our connection to Christ, our broken hearts and what they were before we got saved, and how we have been changed by the Lord Jesus Christ, what the Spirit has done in us and what He has made of us. May we come to that knowing. If not from that death of Christ, we would be lost right now. And may it be that each element we take, we will set our minds upon that death which was for our good. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you this morning that we can have the opportunity to come, O God, and even remind ourselves of the cost of our salvation. Remind ourselves, O God, who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And even taking the very words of the apostle here, that we would examine ourselves and that we would look deeply into our own souls. Because he even reminds us that those who did not examine themselves, they were judged even by you, the Almighty God. But Father, we pray, help us to think deeply who we are right now, how we got to be where we are right now, and how we will walk right now, not only with you, the Lord Jesus Christ, but the proof of our connection to you will be our connection to one another. So Father, we pray, bless us now as we move to the next phase of our worship this morning. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray.